The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 6. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on January 10th, 2016, in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
So I'm very happy to be back here at ISKCON, Brampton. Today we are going to study the most amazing book that's ever been manifested in the history of the universe, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bandhur Atmat Manustasya Yenat Maivamanajita Anatmanastu Shatrutve Vartetat Maiva Shatruvat. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Purport. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of a living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes the Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyandishatarvine. So, since time immemorial, we have been rotating in the cycle of birth and death. We take one body for some time. We go through birth, death, birth, old birth, growth, giving up byproducts, maintenance, dwindling, old age, and death, again and again and again and again. Then we give up that body. You see. We take body, we throw it off. Take another body, we throw it off. But there's one body we've kept the whole time, and that's the subtle body, which is composed of the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. You automatically give up your gross body, but that subtle body is the real problem, because that subtle body has kept us caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So the entry point is the mind. If you allow your mind to dictate to you, if you remain under the dictation of your mind will keep you going again and again and again in the cycle of birth and death. But if you learn the art of how to conquer over your mind by fixing it in Krishna consciousness, then your mind, instead of being your enemy, becomes your best friend. So for a neophyte, it's a battle. Sometimes his mind is Krishna conscious, and sometimes it's not. The symptom of one who is advancing in Krishna consciousness is that the mind is becoming more and more fixed in Krishna consciousness and less disturbed by material consciousness. And the perfection of Krishna consciousness is when the mind is absolutely, totally attached to Krishna. This is called asakti, attachment. So how do we achieve that stage of being totally attached to Krishna, where our mind wants to think of nothing else except Krishna and those things related with Krishna and everything in relation with Krishna? How do we achieve that state? That is a very important question we all must know the answer to. Otherwise, you will continue rotating in the cycle of birth and death. That process of bringing the mind under control is called Krishna consciousness. Perhaps you've heard that term, Krishna consciousness. Yeah. We have our movement, the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is an educational institution to train the students how to keep their mind always fixed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Therefore, we rise early in the morning. We take our bath. We observe the Mangal Arati at the temple or in our home, singing their Gavastakam prayers to the spiritual master. We chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We read from great, great scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We only eat food which has been offered first to Krishna with love and devotion. Such foodstuff is called prasadam, or the mercy of Krishna, because it elevates us out of this suffering condition where the mind is dragging us from birth to birth to birth to birth. This situation of a person who is tortured by his mind, it's called manoratta, the chariot of the mind. If you let your mind carry you, it's just going to keep you caught up in a hellish, nightmarish condition. Sometimes a demigod like Indra, going all the way down to becoming a germ like the Indra Gopa germ. Again and again and again. Bhutva bhutva praliyate, rotating in the cycle of birth and death. So one should take help from Krishna. One should take help from the bona fide spiritual master. One should take help from the devotees of the Lord. One should take the help of the scriptures, the revealed scriptures, to learn how to get the mind completely fixed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. In the beginning, the mind is very much attracted to other things because we've been habituated to sense gratification since time immemorial. The mind is gravitated towards so many sensuous objects, both subtle and gross, since time immemorial. So now we have to take that tendency of the mind being absorbed in this thing and that. We have to absorb it in Krishna. The Mayavadi philosophers, the impersonalists, their idea is to turn off the mind, you see, or make the mind blank. But is that a very practical program, to make your mind blank? The best you can do is be sitting there thinking, well, I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. I have to make my mind blank. But that's not blank. You're still thinking something. You can't turn off your mind. It's not practical to turn off the mind. So instead of trying to negate the activities of the mind, you have to positize the activities of the mind by turning the mind to Krishna. The amazing pastimes of Krishna, how he lifted the Govardhan, how he conquered the Kaliya serpent, so many amazing leelas of Krishna, the pastimes of Kurukshetra, so many amazing pastimes of Krishna the mind can be absorbed in, so many amazing pastimes of Krishna's devotees, like how Prabhupada came and started this movement here in the Western countries. There were so many things we can absorb the mind in. We should just somehow or other get the mind always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And as far as our worldly duties are concerned, you do them, but you do them in Krishna consciousness. Don't do them in sense gratification consciousness. Do them in Krishna consciousness. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad dahosi didasi yad, yad tapashashi konteya, tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do those, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. Take the words of Krishna, the sublime, sweet, powerful words of Krishna, as the guiding principle of your life. Constantly be absorbing your mind in Krishna consciousness. We have very nice bhajan, actually, our great Vaishnava Acharya, Govinda Das. He has given us a very nice bhajan about controlling the mind. Bhajahure mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Chara Nara Vindare. My dear mind, please totally absorb yourself now without any distractions in complete absorption on the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna. You see? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has also given us a method, a technique for keeping that mind fixed nicely. He says, when you get up in the morning, You beat the mind with shoes 100 times. You rascal. Why are you absorbing yourself in sense enjoyment? Come to Krishna. Come to Krishna. Come to Krishna, you rascal mind. You see? So, Govindadas says, my dear mind, in Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, this approach is you rascal mind. You see? So both approaches work. You do whatever helps you to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. You have to. You're the one who has to conquer your mind. I can't conquer your mind for you. You're the one who has to learn how to conquer your own mind. What's going on inside your head, you see, you have the control over it. It's up to you to bring it under control. If you do it, you're going back to Godhead. If you don't, you're taking birth again. I'm telling you right now. If you don't learn how to control your mind, you're going to take birth again in the material realm. You will. Absolutely. I guarantee you. If you don't learn how to conquer over your mind, you will take birth again. I don't care if you have Tilak and Kunti Mala. If you haven't conquered your mind, you're taking birth again. You have to learn how to conquer your mind. And when the mind is conquered, then at the time of death, you go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna and his eternal pastimes. So please, please, please take this very seriously. I cannot remain a dancing dog in the hands of my mind. The mind has to be used now completely for Krishna. No more material contemplations, no more lust, no more anger, no more greed, no more madness, no more illusion. No more envy, no more fearfulness. Now I'm going to become fearless simply by attaching my mind to the lotus feet of Krishna and gluing them there solidly, epoxying my mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, that may it always be strongly, totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness in all times, all places, and all circumstances. This will be the perfection of our existence. Some papers have been passed around and some pens, not just for you to look at it, but to write some questions. We have a very expert devotee here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. She will answer the questions, and I'll also try to answer some questions too. So please write your questions down on the paper and pass them forward. Krishna here is making it very clear. Your mind is either going to be your best friend or your greatest enemy. There's no middle ground. Krishna doesn't give any middle ground. Either the best friend or the greatest enemy. So you have to decide, who do you want to live with? You've been living that mind for millions of births. Do you want to be living with the greatest friend? The best friend and the greatest enemy. It's your choice. You can continue to live with your greatest enemy, or you can live with your best friend. It's up to you. You have to analyze this with your intelligence and decide. You want to live with with the best friend or the greatest enemy? If you choose to make the mind the best friend, you're in for a delightful eternal existence. You give this to... So we'll let Vishnupriya Devi Dasi take the first question. Want me to do the first? Okay. Is there another microphone for her? Yeah, it's coming. Okay, good. Okay, how can one indulge in fruitless activity? It's the fruit or... something. Or reward. Okay, it's the fruit of reward which keeps us moving towards the goal. How can one detach the mind from the goal and keep it moving? So, goal is fine. There's nothing wrong with being goal-oriented. You just have to have a spiritual goal. You understand? You have to spiritualize your goals. Actually, you should have only... I personally have two goals. I want to become a pure devotee who can see Krishna face to face at every minute. Completely pure devotee, a fully self-realized devotee who can actually re-enter into Krishna's transcendental pastimes. That's my one goal. My other goal is that I can spread this Krishna consciousness movement and deliver the fallen souls of this world. So I have no other goals. That's my agenda. I have no other agenda. My goal is Bhakir Nasingo Hridayena Singo. I sing it every day. Bhakir Nasingo Hridayena Singo. Bhakir Nasingo means make the whole world Krishna conscious. Krishna without. Bhakir Nasingo Hridayena Singo. Hridayena Singo means may I become. May within my heart I become fully, totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24/7. And may I be blessed that I can make this world Krishna conscious around me, you see. Bhagir nasingho hridaye nasingho. That's my goal. I'm a very goal-oriented person. Bhagir nasingho hridaye nasingho. It means revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the world, you see. That's my goal. I have two goals. Revolutionize my heart and revolutionize the world. So if you spiritualize your goals in this way, you'll find it very easy to keep your mind fixed in Krishna consciousness 24/7. So now we'll hear from Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, the next.
A Vaishnava is supposed to be para-dukha-dukhi. So how do we say, can then be happy when so much so then you can see that how you can help others if you become happy. We are all suffering. So that is the reason we have to become ourselves happy so that we can give it to others. If we don't become ourselves happy, then we are always complaining, this is wrong, that is wrong. How we can give it to happiness to anybody else? So we have to come to that point that we can chant and be happy ourselves so we can give others happiness.
Next question. I would like to know how to concentrate on Krishna while chanting. Srila Prabhupada told my god sister in one letter, he said, when you chant, feel the presence of Krishna. That's a very powerful instruction. What does that mean, feel the presence of Krishna? You say, well, how could I feel the presence of Krishna? Well, is Krishna present when you utter his name? Yes. So Krishna is there. So try to tune into the fact that Krishna has now come. Tune into that fact. Be your dull brain, the atheistic, skeptical brains we're still trying to get free from, that God has actually come. Krishna is present. How, if some guest, some dear friend you hadn't seen for many years comes to your door, you'd pay full attention to him, wouldn't you? Oh, it's so wonderful you have come. Oh, I'm so happy you've come. Thank you for coming. I'm so happy to see you, my dear friend, you've come. Well, Krishna is your dearest friend, and now after you've been separated, he's come back to you. Krishna, Krishna. You should swim in the ocean of Krishna's divine presence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That's how to concentrate on chanting Hare Krishna.
Next question is, how to fix the mind when the mind is Krishna?
Pretty close question. How to fix the mind on the lotus feet? Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But how do you What do you have to do to control your mind? Again, same question. Well, there's you know, when we chant, you try to feel the presence of Krishna, how he's so kindly come to your house or wherever you are, where you're chanting. Another tip is you have to chant in a place where you can do it meditatively, not that you just get up out of bed, take breakfast, get in the car, and you're going, Hare Krishna, driving to work. You can't meditate like that. You have to chant meditatively, not while you're doing something else. You can't meditate while you're doing something else. Meditation means exclusive focus on that one thing. You have to rise early, go to bed early, get up early. Don't watch the late show on television. Don't even have a television. Get rid of the damn thing if you have one. You see. Go to bed early, get up early, and do your morning meditation on Krishna. You see. And then once you've really tasted Krishna's divine presence at the beginning of your day, then you'll be very enlivened to think, how can I please him by how I do all my daily activities? You see. How I can eat Krishna consciously. How I can go to do my job Krishna consciously. How I can go to school Krishna consciously, you see. You have to have that taste in the early morning of the divine presence of the Lord, and that will help you connect throughout the day in all circumstances with Krishna.
That's how you will know, just like a person who is eating prasadam, then when he's
blind. Microphone. Someone adjust the mic stand so it's by her mouth, because we're recording this, doesn't it? Okay, that's fine. That'll work.
So just like a person who is taking prasadam, and he lets come one, two, twice or thrice, he can take some prasadam. When he's full, then he knows that he's full. Yeah. So when you are full of Krishna, then you know your mind is conquered, or you are always engaged in service of Krishna. No other attraction. All your material desires, angering and lamentation are gone.
We know that the husband has respect for his wife. Why Krishna didn't take his wife with him, but take the girlfriend first, Radharani, everywhere? Well, the question is not correct. Krishna wasn't married. But someone say, well, why Krishna doesn't get married then? Why he has so many girlfriends? Of course, he did get married in Dwarka. He had 16,108 wives, you see. But why he had girlfriends in Vrindavan? Then you can't bring Krishna down to your level. Try to understand. Everything that exists is Krishna's Shakti. Everything belongs to Krishna. Bhuktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshvaram. Krishna is the owner of absolutely everything. Someone may say, why Krishna enjoyed other men's wives? But that's not true. Why the men were thinking to enjoy those women who actually belonged to Krishna. It was the men who were at fault, not Krishna. Everything that exists is Krishna's personal property. So it's not that Krishna was enjoying other men's wives. The men, they were at fault, thinking that this wife belongs to me. Actually, every woman is the property of Krishna, and every man also. Everything that exists is Krishna's property. Okay, your turn.
Have you do we know what is right? If we are doing everything according to the Shastra, because Shastras are given by Krishna, it's a Dharma to Sakshat, Bhagavad Gita, Pranita. Karma is coming, and if you are doing everything accordingly, then you are on the right path. What is right? Like Bhagavad Gita, for example, it tells you about how to eat. Eating is everybody is going to do it. But Bhagavad Gita tells, the Krishna says that first you offer it to me and then take, so you become free from sinful activities. So this is how we learn what is right and what is wrong, through the Shastra.
Okay, next question. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have characteristics of Sri Krishna. Then why have death and not the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Actually, we don't have death. We don't die. Just as Krishna doesn't. Krishna is Satchidananda, eternity, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. We are also Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. We are deathless beings, just as Krishna is a deathless being. But because we foolishly misidentify ourselves with this material energy, namely this material body, we go through what seems to be death. It's not death. The soul never dies. It's only due to ignorance that we think that we die. Actually, you never die. You're forever young. Well, to speak of not dying, you don't even get old. You're an eternal youth. But due to your foolish misidentification with matter, you're thinking, oh, now I'm becoming old. Now I'm dying. That's rubbish. You don't get old. You don't die. So stop misidentifying yourself with this material nature. Stop cheating yourself. Don't be a stupid fool who keeps cheating himself by this ignorance. Next question.
For all good things that happen in our life, we thank to Krishna. We think it's all with Krishna's mercy. Whom we should make responsible for anything goes wrong, things, anything wrong things that happen to our life. We should blame ourselves. We have so foolishly been engaged, but it's still it's kindness of Krishna that he has put me in this situation so I can become more Krishna conscious. It's a still mercy. Kunti Devi prayed for miserable situations that she can always remain Krishna conscious. In a natural way also we can see that when something bad happens, even the karmis, when something bad happens, they run to the temple and pray. So it's a natural thing. Something bad happens. So this is the way we can, Krishna makes arrangement that we can remember him more and take shelter of his lotus feet.
Next question. What should we do if our service is always criticized by other devotees? We should be so grateful to them. We should be ever thankful. These devotees are so kind to me. Here I'm thinking I'm a great Paramahamsa, doing my service so perfectly in pure love for Krishna. And they're saying, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong. We should be so grateful. These devotees are helping me to get out of this horrible false egoistic disease that I've been suffering for millions of lifetimes. These devotees are the representatives of Krishna, bestowing the mercy of Krishna upon me. Prabhupada says the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. So these devotees are helping you to advance in Krishna consciousness. I remember when I was first coming around that I wasn't a devotee yet, but I went to the Lord Chaitanya Festival in Dallas. In those days, there was no Java beads from India. You had to string your own. You go to a hobby store, you buy some beads, and you'd string your own beads. So a bunch of us thought, this is really cool, this chanting. So we all went to we got in a car and went over to the hobby store. We came back to the preaching center. We were stringing our beads, and I chanted my first 16 rounds, ki jai. Chanted 16 rounds, and then I got all fired up, and I told the Swami, his name was Vishnu Jana Swami, maybe you heard of him, he's a very famous sannyasi. I said, Swami, I think I'd like to become a devotee. So did he glorify me? Oh, that's wonderful. You know what he said? What I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. He was practically almost criticizing me. Almost, not quite, but almost criticizing me. That are you really, you know, can you really walk your talk, or are you just a big mouth? You see? See how that was a great blessing. That was a great blessing that he didn't just say, oh, that's wonderful, Haribol. No, he didn't do that. He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. That was a great blessing. And you know, Prabhupada told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. Prabhupada confirmed the expertise of this Swami to train me. And he, instead of glorifying me, he said, well, I don't know if you really can do this or not. Let's see if you can really pull it off, you see. So just to glorify, you know what they say? Sometimes it said, the flatterer is your worst enemy. And if somebody criticizes, we heard a class, a wonderful class in Juhu, ISKCON Juhu, one morning. The Brahmana Brahmachari, he was telling us, if somebody criticizes you all the time, move in with them. Move in and live with them. That's what you need. You see? That's what you need. You need somebody who's always pointing out your faults. That's how you're going to become very fixed up very quickly in Krishna consciousness. Okay, your turn.
Do we have to be spiritually knowledgeable to fix our mind on Krishna's, in Krishna consciousness? Yes and no.
Microphone.
Yes and no. Not necessarily do we want to be spiritually knowledgeable, but knowledge can help. Knowledgeable is also that someone who wants to teach you. And if you are Krishna conscious in knowledge, so anybody can challenge you and you can defeat them. But to be spiritually, to be Krishna conscious, one does not need. The gopis are said that they did not even know that Krishna was even Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have so much love for Krishna. That is needed. If we can develop our love without being knowledge, Krishna can guide anyone and give all the knowledge from within. So it's not that one has to be knowledgeable to become Krishna conscious. One can, with great love and devotion, if one can chant Hare Krishna, whether they have full philosophical knowledge or not, they can become Krishna conscious. But if you have all the Vedas within your heart, you are very knowledgeable about Vedas, but if you do not know Krishna, all the studies and all the Vedas are useless.
Next question. Sometimes the feelings we share with some devotees are not reciprocated in the same manner as we do. Naturally, you feel disappointed at some point and become neutral for those. Is it okay to do that? In this described, there are three different levels of devotees. Of course, there's a fourth one too, but from a general viewpoint, there's devotees in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Devotees in the mode of ignorance, they're always a very negative attitude, finding fault with everything. The devotees in the mode of passion, they very much want to be recognized. They always want to be recognized. That's their thing. Devotees in the mode of goodness, they're trying to cultivate pure love of Krishna. That's their main thing. So, different devotees are reciprocating in different ways. Prabhupada explains that devotees in the mode of ignorance, you respect them from a distance and avoid their association. Just like we have our friends called the Ritviks, and they're saying, all these ISKCON gurus are bogus. you see. So, you know, they're all just imposters. Only Prabhupada is the guru. But actually, that doesn't, their philosophy doesn't make any sense, because Prabhupada said that one who is now the disciple, he becomes the next spiritual master. Prabhupada said that my Guru Maharaj is in the 10th in the line from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm the 11th and you are the 12th. He told us we were the next in the line of the siblic succession. Prabhupada directly told us that we were the next in that list of the siblic succession. So if somebody is very negative, yeah, those ISKCON gurus are just a bunch of demons, you should never go to an ISKCON temple. Well, obviously that kind of person you're not going to share. Yeah, we had a wonderful Rathi. We had a wonderful program at the Brampton Temple. Someone who's very critical like that, who's blasphemous, you obviously don't reveal your heart to them, you see. So you reveal your heart to those people who appreciate. You have to see where you reveal your ecstasies of Krishna consciousness, your realizations, those who can appreciate that. Don't cast your pearls before a swine, it sometimes said. Okay. You're done? Okay, well, I just have one more question, and I see we have about 60 seconds left. We control our mind sometimes and do our Krishna seva sincerely. Then when some big problems come, it becomes unbearable, it becomes very difficult for us to go on with the same fervor. That means you're still a neophyte. It just means you're a neophyte. You have to notch up your Krishna, you have to crank up your Krishna consciousness to a higher level. Because when you get to a higher level, everything energizes you. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, you're energized by everything. In fact, advanced devotees sometimes prefer the difficult, negative, calamitous situations because they find that helps them to become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. As my wife pointed out, Kunti Devi, Vipada Shatitanta Shvatatatata Jagad Guru. Bhavadam darshanam yachad apunar bhava darshanam. In the Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti Devi prays in this way. She says, my dear Krishna, please give me more and more big problems. Please give me more and more unbearable situations, because that's when I have nothing to do except take complete shelter of you and see you within my heart. Those situations force me to have no other vision except for you. And when I see you in this way, apanabhava darshanam, I will not see birth and death again. So try to take lesson from our Siksha Guru, Kunti Devi, and understand difficulties are your greatest blessing. They're your greatest blessing. Because then you have nothing to do. You take shelter of Krishna, you see. Now, maybe we're not going to pray for difficulty. My dear Lord, please give me an unbearable difficulty today. Kunti Devi is praying that way. We don't have to pray that way. But at least when the unbearable difficulties come, we should see Krishna has blessed me, you see. He's blessed me with this calamitous situation. Instead of thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? No, we thank you. Say, Krishna, thank you for doing this to me. You see? Thank you. I've been getting your mercy every day, but now I'm getting extra special mercy. That's how you should see it. This calamitous situation, this big difficulty has come. Now I'm getting extra special. I'm getting the greatest mercy I've ever gotten from you, my Lord. You see? Take it in that way. Just try it. Try this, what I've told you. Try it. The next time calamity comes, thank Krishna, thank you for giving me this calamity. You've been very kind to me, but now you're being extra kind to me. Try this. And you know what will happen? Then there's no such thing as a calamity anymore. Every single experience you have, every day and every minute, will be taking you one step closer to Krishna. When you develop this kind of a mood, Every moment will take you. Doesn't matter what's happening. Every moment will take you another step closer, another step closer, another step closer to Krishna. That's called a steady devotee. Nishta, a fixed up devotee. You see? When you get to that stage, it's a downhill glide. Up until that stage, we're struggling. We're struggling. Oh, this difficulty, that difficulty. Struggle, 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 struggle. But if you keep pushing through and have faith in Vaishnavas, have faith in Guru, have faith in Prabhupada, have faith in the scriptures, I guarantee you, you're going to see this lust going away, the anger will go away, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, the fear, all this stuff will just start going away. Like when you clap your hands, the birds on the telephone wire just go flying away, you see. All this stuff will just fly away. Your heart will become purified. You'll be amazed. Wow. I knew Krishna consciousness was good. I had no idea it was this good, you see. You'll be amazed. We don't know how good it actually is because we're neophytes, we're struggling neophytes. But as we learn to conquer the mind, we're going to have an incredible awakening. So there's one more? Okay. This is the last question now. Quite interesting question. Okay, let's hear it. I'm eager.
You mentioned about that,
microphone, please. I don't follow. What's the point?
Who is the third? Who?
You all are the 13th, you see.
That's what I'm saying. Many branches will come. It's not, it's just one branch.
Yeah. The tree has many branches, branching out further and further. We want to branch out and engulf the whole material world. We want to see that our devotees become powerful preachers who can deliver thousands of devotees. You see that we have statistic. Prabhupada said, even if we can make less than 1% of the world Krishna conscious, the whole human history will change. So what is the population? 7.3 billion. So if we can just make 73 million people Krishna conscious, or even 50 million people Krishna conscious. So we've heard statistic from Gopal Krishna Maharaj, we have a little over 50,000 initiates right now in ISKCON. So if every initiated devotee can say, okay, I need to make 10 devotees who can make 10 devotees who can make 10 devotees. The whole history of the world will flip over, you see. If you can make 10 devotees, this is called the power of 10. If you can make 10 devotees who can make 10 devotees who make 10 devotees, that's 1,000 devotees, you see. 1,000 times 50,000 is 5 million? Or 50 million. I forget my math from the old days. The point is, if every one of us can make 10 devotees, we can make 10 devotees, and make 10 devotees, Vaishnava culture will take over this planet. Would you like to see Vaishnava culture take over this planet?
Yes.
Okay, then make 10 devotees, we can make 10 devotees, we can make 10 devotees. That's all you have to do. First of all, you become a strict devotee. You chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, become fixed up, take initiation from one of the gurus of ISKCON, you see, become fixed up, make 10 devotees, who can make 10 devotees, and make 10 devotees, and you'll see the whole world will become peaceful. This ISIS crisis will be forgotten, the slaughterhouses will close, the abortion clinics will close. We just need to remember the power of 10. And the whole thing will change. The whole world will completely transform into Vaishnava culture. They're not everyone will be a devotee, but this Vaishnava culture will be respected by everyone. Everyone will respect it. Power of 10, Ki Jai. Okay. All right, so we'll stop here and we'll continue on to the next part of the program. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.